What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't really have a problem in this context with them dropping J-Dams in neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Like, that fight, and this is a brutal thing to say, but mm-hmm. it's true, I don't think it can be settled any way except one side is genocide and the other side's not.
Let's go.
Welcome to Citizen. We've got a special guest today, former Third Group operator, Echo and Fox, Clay Martin. How's it going?
Good, brother. How about you?
I'm living the dream. My balls can't handle too much more of this Texas shifting weather, to be honest. It's terrible. Probably worse where you are, actually. Oklahoma gets a bit cooler.
It gets a bit cooler, but then you come down here and it's 85 mm-hmm. degrees, and like, I'm dying right now. Yeah. I don't want to play anymore.
Echo, I'm told, is the hardest school out of the four.
Well, you have to actually master the entire Dungeon Master for Dungeons and Dragons. Mm. You had to be capable of that.
Like a 12-sided die,
yes.
The whole thing.
24.
Yeah. 24. Oh, it's 24?
Yeah, shit. Fucking Bravos are 12. So
damn, dude.
Yeah.
Well, they can't read.
So. It makes things more difficult.
I don't know that Charlies can read either, but they can blow shit up, which is cool.
That's right? True. They'd like to tell you that.
They know enough to blow shit up, so I'm down with that. So how did you – tell me about your upbringing. What got you into the military?
Man, that was a – So I'm a, grew up in a small Texas town, mm-hmm. little tiny town up in the Panhandle, and it was kind of one of those things I always wanted to do. It was like, want to be that guy. I'm going to say mostly, if we're being perfectly honest with each other, it was about probably being small when I was little. I was mm-hmm. a little tiny guy until I was like 18 or 19. I'm talking like under 5 feet tall when I started high school.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like 95 pounds and shit.
Are you like part Guatemalan or something?
Right. Grew later.
Just tiny people.
Right, tiny people. So, a lot of it, if we're being really honest, was that tough guy experience. Like, I am this now, and I want to be that, and this is the path that you walk to get there.
Why Army? Why Special Forces and not SEALs or Raiders or something else?
Well, it was actually my second choice. Mm. Yeah, so I did my first 5 years in the Marine Corps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was a recon Marine back before we had Raiders.
Yeah.
Scout Sniper in Mother Corps, and basically, they had the best commercials for being, fighting dragons and shit.
The
propaganda is off the chart. You got to admit that shit.
Yeah, it's not bad. They're the only ones that do it right. The Army's like, there's 260 ways to be a soldier.
Exactly.
And then it's like, there's one way to be a Marine, and it's to fucking murder people. Right. It's like, all right, I take B every time there. What the fuck are you talking about?
And now you're a cook. Like, yeah. God damn it.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it really is true. Especially, back then pre-war, you go talk to a recruiter. Mm. They didn't know shit about it.
When did you join?
1998.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 98.
Yeah.
So, back then, recruiters didn't, there was none of this cool stuff. Mm. The recruiters were all idiots. Like, if you went to an Army recruiter and asked him about, like, Ranger Battalion or SF, he'd be like, well, have we told you about the college money yet?
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. And same thing, the Navy recruiters were, they had a, SEAL book this big. Like, here's all the cool stuff. But if you had a high GT score, they were more trying to push you into nuclear submarine bullshit, mm. which I don't want to do.
Yeah.
The Air Force, I mean, let's be real, it just doesn't exist. It kind of became a Marine thing.
Yeah. And what made you, did you have a break in service, or did you go lateral from the Marine Corps to the Army?
Oh, man. I Have you had a Marine on yet that would talk about the early years of the GWAT?
I don't know that. I think most of my buddies who are, no, the answer is no.
Let me, without flashbanging my former service, let me do the abbreviated version of how that story goes real quick. So, everybody at this point knows that there's a MARSOC and it's under SOCOM. It's all cool shit. Well, before that, we were not. And here's why. Because the Marine Corps is a bunch of cocksuckers. Mm-hmm. And when SOCOM was formed in 1986 by the Goldwater-Nichols Act, the Marine Corps Commandant stood up and was like, hey, man, my guys are already special. We have a, I believe it was a MEF with like, you know, we can do hostage rescue and airplanes and all this bullshit.
They were slicing on MUs and stuff to do special activity stuff.
Well, they actually slapped that word special operations capable on the backside. This is why.
Yeah.
Because the Marine Corps did not want to give up its dudes. And the Goldwater-Nichols Act, the formation of SOCOM actually comes from Desert One.
To JSOC, you mean? They didn't want to give up dudes to JSOC? Like lose command of them?
Correct. Yeah. Yes. That makes sense. Yeah. So the whole reason the SOCOM was formed because of the Desert One debacle anyway. You had all that, you know, crazy stuff with the hostage rescue in Tehran. It was a clusterfuck. These two senators or congressmen or whatever got together and were like, never again. We're going to have a unified command for special boy stuff. And it is what it is, and everybody will play ball. Well, they gave the Marine Corps an exclusion to that because they allegedly had all this stuff, right? So that was fine for, I don't know, most of the 90s. And there was a lot of weird stuff going on back then, too. They, you know, SOCOM was not like we think of it today with, like, all of its positions filled. So there was still some jockeying for position. But it very much became, like, the Marine Corps against everybody else. So by the time the global war on terror starts, if I look at my highest command level as a recon Marine, we have a lieutenant colonel. And SOCOM has, like, a four-star or four... a three-star, two stars. Yeah. And so we just got absolutely hosed in the first part of the war. This is all shit that, like, as a young guy, you don't understand either. You know, it's not like I was, you know, at the fucking recruiter's office going through the SOCOM table of organization. But we got absolutely just dealt with. And because of that, this is actually why there's a MARSOC today. Ungodly number of recon Marines left, like 60%, 60-70%, just bailed. And so dudes either became contractors. I went to Special Forces Selection. There was like seven or eight other recon Marines I haven't seen in years, like from around the country. Like, hey, what are you doing here, buddy? And so that was kind of the way that we all went.
It makes sense. I mean, it kind of swung after you left, it kind of swung in the other direction. By 2006 or so, when MARSOC was fully stood up, there was no oversight. Like my buddy Joel was there. And somebody put the wrong, the serial number for a product. What the fuck they call it?
NSN.
NSN number. Yeah. Put the wrong NSN number and fucking Kiowas and crates started showing up. They're like, oh, geez. We don't have any pilots here, dude. Like, they're folded up and shit in big ass crates. And they're like, oh, fuck.
Lance Corporals out there stealing parts for Honda Civic and shit.
Yeah. And it was like, the structure at the time also, there was no alpha billet. So they just rotated random officers through there. Fucking dumb, man. I mean, for an organization that has the most motivated people, the infrastructure is fucking retarded.
Oh, it was completely completely fucking
insane. I don't know how it is now. I know that there are some O's that people like.
Yeah.
But the majority of O's that I've run into, both personally and secondhand, are like careerist. Like award chasers. I'm like, dude, that's not the Marine Corps. But Jesse Puller never chased awards.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, exactly.
He had a couple, but he never fucking chased them.
Right.
That's weird to me. So what year did you go to selection?
2003. So we all got stop loss to go to Iraq the first time with the Marine Corps. Came back, got out in like June or July 2003, and I was in selection by October.
And what made you decide to go to the Echo course, or did they choose that for you? I mean, you get a wish list, but...
No, so most of us, when we made the shift from the Marine Corps, because I didn't know shit about being in the Army, right? And that's actually a little bit scary. Like, if you fuck this up, you're going to be in the Army.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that could be
some
terrible.
Regular dick.
So a whole lot of us actually, like, the West Virginia National Guard became, like, the feeder for dudes out of Lejeune to go to Bragg. So we joined the National Guard SF, a whole bunch of us, and so that was the transition phase.
Okay, and so you make it through, you go to third group.
Well, actually, I make it through, immediately deploy with 19th group. We even like skip graduation and shit because our battalion was actually downrange. While I'm on that deployment, there's kind of a special piece of paper that you can get if you're deployed as an SF guy mm-hmm. in the reserves, if you're deployed to a war zone or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it makes it like the magic ominous dominus. Now you can be on active duty with no bullshit. So mm-hmm. from there, I went to third group.
Cool. And then what was third group? Is the lone group remaining, I guess, at Bragg or whatever they're calling it now, right?
Oh, God, I was just back there for a funeral. It's they changed all the fucking signs. Like, day one, man, they changed all the signs, Fort Liberty, whatever bullshit. Yeah. It'll always be Bragg to me. But, yeah, we're the last one standing.
Yeah, I don't give a shit what Alvin Bragg did or said.
Me neither.
I don't care about him.
Nobody gives a fuck who he is.
I don't have a painting of him in my fucking house, dude. That's the name of the fucking base.
I don't even know if there was a memorial to, and it wasn't Alvin Bragg, it's the DA from New York. It was,
that's right.
The other Confederate fucking jackass, whatever his name was.
Fucking name.
I don't even think there was a fucking memorial on Fort Bragg. If there was, I never saw one. But yeah, so they changed all that shit. Now it's, 100 years ahead.
Braxton Bragg.
Yeah.
I don't know who that guy is. I don't remember. So, when you go to, it's probably not true for SF, but in the 82nd, when you go to any sergeant board, mm-hmm. you have to know the entire history of the base of
right.
the battles we've been in, the Medal of Honor recipients and so on. I don't remember ever hearing about Bragg ever.
Fucking me neither.
So whatever. That's pretty gay.
Very gay.
So you get the third group and, how long were you there?
Oh, shit. 7 years? 7 years,
roughly. Seven. So how much total time did you do?
15 years.
15. What made you decide to get out instead of...
I didn't.
Mm.
Yeah, I got... So I got banged up pretty bad in 2007. Mm-hmm. I'm already riding on two vertebrae that I broke in a parachute jump when I was like 20 or 21. So it was one of those weird times. I don't know if you were around then, but around... I don't know, like 2012, 2013, the first thing they started doing was going through Obama's running shit. They started going through everybody's medical records.
Oh, yeah.
And this is from fucking COSCOM up and looking for reasons to DX dudes. So I got med boarded right then. And at the time, I was extremely pissed off about it. But what I didn't realize is I actually got off easy because the next year is where they started doing the QMP boards.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew dudes all the way up, like the special operator tier list, they're having to go and defend themselves for like getting a fucking page 11. They were a goddamn Ranger private 20 years ago. And some of those dudes, got axed, no retirement, nothing. Get the fuck out.
Well, I guess at the time, we didn't really need soldiers that much because we were just dropping bombs on weddings and shit. And that's a good segue, actually. I don't think so. I know my collective group of friends has probably spent 1,000 years in war. What I mean? It's a ridiculous amount of experience in war.
Yes.
And everybody's got their own opinions on things, I suppose, especially when it comes to politics. Most of the guys I know don't give a fuck about politics, but they're it's that those are the people that I'm really curious about regarding how they feel about certain styles or certain tactical styles in combat. I've been talking to a lot of people, and I've personally been talking a lot about how Israel is prosecuting the war against Hamas right now, right? And it's fucking retarded that I even have to say this, but obviously Hamas is the bad guy. I don't know why I fucking have... you can't criticize... Here, what I won't do is armchair quarterback the individual soldier. But from the tactical level, from the command, I think everybody should be criticizing that, right? Because that's how you get better. In a team room, if the alpha says some stupid shit, I fucking hope the senior NCO says, get the fuck out of here, sir. We got this. You know what I mean? Because that's the way it's supposed to work. But I think, and I'd like your opinion on this too. My position is that I've taken rockets and indirect fire literally hundreds of times.
Right.
And not once did we, and it almost exclusively came from neighborhoods.
Right. Yeah. Oh, fuck yes.
Not once did we say drop a JDAM on that neighborhood. You know what I mean? I understand this is a different situation, tunnels, a long history of whatever the fuck. And just, Hamas is certainly fully willing to use human shields. There's no question about that. And they kidnap.
It's almost like they've fucking done this before.
Yeah. They also kidnap and murder babies, which... look, we're not, there's no moral equivalence between these two situations, but me personally, as a gunfighter, I'm not comfortable dropping bombs on neighborhoods. I would rather put myself at risk and go into the fight, frankly. How do you feel about that? Because not everybody agrees with me.
Man, I have to say that I don't. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, too. This particular Israel-Hamas conflict has been such a goat rodeo from day one that it's actually kind of hard to follow. And to be perfectly honest, also, I've ignored a lot of this one just because of the propaganda
I don't believe the Palestinian fucking health organization puts out numbers. I'm like, all right, cool, man.
No shit. Yeah,
may as well be written in crayon.
Getting an AR from the Taliban when you destroyed 35 tanks. Like, there's not 35 tanks in this fucking country. It's ridiculous. But I think we've seen a fair amount of propaganda from the Israeli side, too, which... At this point, just basically after Ukraine and Snake Island, I don't believe any of this shit anymore. So I've been kind of ignoring it. But I don't really have a problem in this context with them dropping JDAMs in neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Like, that fight, and this is a brutal thing to say, but mm-hmm. it's true, I don't think it can be settled any way except one side is genocide and the other side's not. So pick who you want to win.
Well, what are the sides, though?
Oh, fuck. Israel, Hamas, Palestinian citizens... whoever else is mm-hmm. involved, Syrian militias.
Because if you follow that to its logical conclusion, that we've got to take out Iran as well completely, right?
I think Iran would let Hamas get pushed into the sea and just let it ride this time. That's kind of my feeling on it. I don't know that for a fact, mm-hmm. but that's kind of how it feels this time. This is a very hard position to be in also as like one of us. Mm-hmm. Like we all have worked with the IDF before. Yeah. We probably got some buddies over there.
Oh, yeah, I got buddies there now. Yeah.
Yeah, if we're kind of looking at this as just generally good guys, bad guys, it's probably going to be the Israelis or our boys.
Sure, yeah.
And we just also kind of don't like Hamas because they remind us of the guys that we fought for 20 fucking mm-hmm. years. You know, and that's truth.
Well, I mean, any time there's two groups of people and one of them, this may be like a banal, maybe like subtle distinction to some people. But people who are okay with civilian casualties versus people who do it on purpose, that's two different groups of people to me.
I agree with that, too. Right? Yes.
Like, I know it's they're both not great.
Yes.
Right? But one is clearly worse.
Right.
And we've fought people that do that before.
We have.
A lot. And it's never, like, it's always the worst people who do that. It's the Nazis. It's the fucking, the Russians. It's you know, assholes.
Yes.
That behave that way.
Right.
But people... You can tell everything you need to know about us culture by how they protect the people that need protecting, right?
Fair. That's Instead absolutely of
using
fair.
Them as whatever the fuck. So anyways.
Right. But, you know, if we take this back 20 years, I have friends that would be alive today if we had dropped more JDAMs on neighborhoods or fucking artillery bra or something ridiculous like 500-pound dummy bombs. I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, was any one of my friends worth 10,000 Iraqi civilians? Mm-hmm. And my personal belief is no. So... It's a brutal way of looking at things, mm-hmm. but I can understand the Israelis' position of, let's not risk any of our dudes.
Yeah.
Like, fuck it. Let's just blow this whole thing up.
I get it, but you can't claim the moral high ground.
No, but I don't think you should be trying to claim the moral high ground in war anyway. Do you want to win or not?
Sure, yeah, but there's a way to win, right?
Well, there's always a way to win. Do you want to win with a lower cost or a higher cost?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, the counterpoint to my personal opinion about this is Japan, right? Like, we did an assessment of Japan in 1945, we're like, they're not going to quit.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah.
So we've got to nuke two of their cities. You know what I mean?
There was a couple of civilian casualties in that one.
About 140,000 right. over the course of 20 minutes or so. Right.
Or Dresden, for that matter.
Yeah.
You can back this up a lot of places. Mm. Yes.
But we didn't have the precision or technical or tactical capabilities we do now back then. Right?
That's true.
So I think you have to take that into consideration. I was talking to somebody about this earlier today about, you know, people like there's a lot of rockets still being fired, actually.
Oh, sure.
But none of them are getting through because the Iron Dome is pretty good.
Right.
Under the worst circumstances, like the opening salvo of the war, thousands of them, it's still well over 90% effective, right? So what is the inherent risk exactly? Like that you say, not you, but like right. someone might say that they're still firing rockets from this location, so we have to bomb. It's like, okay, but you know for a fact those rockets aren't going to land anywhere. So is that that's not an intrinsic risk anymore.
It's kind of the point, though. Like,
what's the point that you can fucking have this technology
right.
to create some standoffs so you can do more precise things? And it's not just about having the moral high ground. Ultimately, it's about, is this conflict going to escalate into the rest of the region, right?
Which is very possible.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which we don't want. Not only do we not want it to escalate, when I say we, I mean...
You and me. I think our government might, but that's neither here nor there.
But the we're really close with the Abraham Accords. I've been talking about this for about 3 years now since it first started when Kushner went over there. But we very clearly targeted the richest countries in the Middle East and had appeasement or peace deals between them and Israel, Bahrain, UAE, Qatar, Kuwait. And Saudi Arabia was the last chip to fall. Jordan, and then Saudi Arabia was the last super wealthy country in the Middle East that once those people are on board, right? And and to be fair to MBS, Saudi Arabia has been shooting down rockets, you know what I mean, headed towards Israel.
Right.
I don't know if people are aware of that in public, but that's been happening, right? And they're still at the negotiating table for this thing. I think that's the bigger picture, right? So, yeah, from the gunfighter's perspective, I don't want to see my friends get fucked up.
Right.
But from, you know, somebody that's going to have kids and looking around at other kids that are going to join the military, I also don't want this war being fought at a grander scale 20 years from now. So it's like, is my life worth stopping that shit from happening? Probably yes, but I don't get to make that decision for other people either.
Right. I mean, you can even back that up to another logical conclusion of it. How do I break the Palestinians' will to fight and stop them from supporting Hamas? And this is always the fine balance point of counterinsurgency.
Yeah.
Enough carrot and enough stick.
Yeah.
Russian method would be all stick.
Yeah.
A lot of times our method would be entirely too much fucking carrot.
Yeah.
There has to be that balance point. And that's really also a cultural question for the Palestinians. Like, are they the people that are going to react to these bombings and all their shit being blown up and force Hamas out? Or is this going to harden their will? And that's always a fucking dice roll, man.
Yeah, it is. And to be honest, I don't give a fuck about Palestine as a state or an organization or whatever it is. I don't care about that. I mean, I don't want innocent people to get fucked up, but Palestine specifically, there is a reason that every Middle Eastern country has kicked them out. Qatar kicked out almost 300,000. I'm sorry, Kuwait in 1992, I think, kicked out almost 300,000 of them because they foment insurrection no matter where they go. Egypt kicked them all out. The only place they still exist other than Gaza and the West Bank is Jordan and Lebanon, where they have no rights. They can't be doctors, they can't get personal certifications, they can't buy property, so on and so forth.
Isn't that also because in Jordan in the 70s they tried to foment a rebellion there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Which is funny because Jordan was Palestine. Transjordan, the country of Transjordan, was that whole area.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck are you doing? And look, just like with the Ukraine-Russia situation in NATO, we've handled this very poorly.
Oh, fuck.
Right?
Oh,
we've instigated the fuck out of everything, but... I don't care about Palestine existing or a two-state solution or that bullshit because the people who have the most to benefit from that don't care about it. So that tells you something, right?
Exactly.
It's either I fully believe that America wants to keep this war going forever so they can make money. I have no doubts about that. I don't believe that Egypt and Saudi Arabia want that. Right, because it fucks up their day-to-day life.
Especially modern.
It's in their backyard, you know what I mean?
Like there's definitely no a time where Egypt would be pushing for this to go on, but not for the
last 20
years.
Egypt is so fucking... Ever since the Arab Spring, nobody even knows who runs that country anymore. You know what I mean?
Me included,
They don't know. I'm shocked there isn't a military coup every other week, but the people who have the most to lose, and I don't mean the two involved, I don't mean Palestine and Israel, I mean Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, so on and so forth, have no concern for the Palestinians.
Oh, of course not. No, those are pawns to be used.
Their so-called plight, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, and you add that to the fact that they've been kicked out of all these places. I don't know what to think about that. I mean, I don't like to monolith people. It's not like
me neither.
Some Palestinians did some stuff, and now everybody hates them. It's like, I'm not getting on board with that.
Right.
But the cause is not the people. You know what I mean? The cause of they don't want a two-state solution.
No.
Palestine doesn't want that.
No, they don't.
From the river to the sea doesn't mean a two-state solution. It means in the sea or in the Jordan River, but not on our land, right? That's how they feel about it. That's not it is what it is, man. I don't know. It's certainly a complicated situation, but my concern is that Israel was getting really close with Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. right? And Iran sees this. They launch this attack. There's no question about that, in my opinion. They launch this attack, and then Israel is doing exactly what they hoped exactly what Iran hoped they would do. Mm-hmm. Right. Don't, if your enemy is trying to get you to do something, you shouldn't do it. Right. I don't need to quote Sun Tzu here.
Right.
It just seems like a tactical mistake to me. I understand that they're angry and full of rage and they have the right to revenge. They have the right to defend themselves. There's no question about that. But it would have been nice if somebody on 9/12 would have calmed us down a little bit.
Oh, man.
Instead of us passing the Patriot Act and spending $8 trillion on bullshit wars and killing a million civilians. You know what I mean?
This episode is brought to you by GhostBed.com/DrinkItBros. GhostBed. It's the best bed in the world. It's the most comfortable. Sheets, pillows, the whole thing. I've got them all, man. And, you know, they wanted to extend their best possible offer to Drink It Bros. They've been with us for a very long time. So this is the email they sent us. We want Drink It Bros to get the best offer, so I updated the code for 50% site-wide. That's 50% site-wide. Use the code Drinkin' Bros. Drinkin' Bros with no G. For 50% off site-wide, everything that you buy on this site is going to be 50% off. Again, they got the best pillows, sheets, mattresses. They got the mattress protector. If you're sloppy and spill things and you don't want to jack up your mattress, they have pretty much everything you need. They've got weighted blankets now. They've got the adjustable base, which we really like. I've got one in my home. So go to ghostbed.com/drinkitbros. Use the code drinkitbros for 50% off site-wide. And don't forget about their pay-as-you-go plan. If you're with approved credit, you're going to be able to pay this thing off over the course of 3 to 5 years for $25 to $35 a month. It's nothing. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkitbros today. And use the code DRINKITBROS for 50% off. This episode is also brought to you by BlackRifleCoffee.com. The best coffee in the world. As a matter of fact, they won both the gold and bronze medal at the Golden Bean Awards this year for their exclusive coffee club entries in the elite category. So the best coffee on earth literally was Circus Bear by Black Rifle, one of their ECS. So I recommend that you go sign up for the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Use the code CITIZEN. You're going to get those points off. And, you know, you get all the benefits for being in the coffee club. You get the free shipping. You get access to all the partner deals. You get access to the exclusive coffee club. You get access to any new products that come out before anybody else does. You know, it's a very large club that they have over there. And the coffees are premium. Every single one of them is good. You're going to get experience for you. You can do just the plain coffee club, and if you want your two bags of espresso or your two bags of silencer smooth or whatever it is you drink, you can get those two bags or one bag or whatever you want every month, or rather you can use the ECS, the exclusive coffee club, and get access to some of the most premium coffees on the planet and kind of learn what it is that you like. You know what I mean? So then you can order those premium coffees from Black Rifle as well. So, and we all know they got the best branding, the best merch, and they're buddies. You know, we're all friends here. We love Black Rifle. So go to blackriflecoffee.com, sign up for the coffee club, or buy something. Do whatever you want. Use the code CITIZEN. You're going to get those points off. This episode is brought to you by firstform.com/citizen. Free shipping on all orders over $75 when you use the link. And you're not going to spend less than $75. I mean, they got the best products in the world, especially the OptiGreens. You know me, I don't eat vegetables because they're fucking pointless. So I supplement with OptiGreens 50 from First Form. It is precisely formulated green superfood powder meant for overall immune system support and digestive health. It's really good, aside from just getting the daily greens into your body that you need. And make sure, by the way, you're taking this with MCT, because you have to take anything like this with MCT. 80% of your immune system is located in your gut and your digestive tract, right? So healthy digestion is essential for overall health and wellness, not to mention that most of your serotonin, I think 96% of your serotonin or 94%, is made in your gut as well. So you're going to be in a better mood. You're going to feel better physically, and you're going to feel better mentally if you are taking these greens. OptiGreen 50 has 50 chosen ingredients, effectively dosed. It's not necessarily how many ingredients there are, though, but it's about the right amount of each. Taste and texture, not like no other product in the market. It's not gritty. It doesn't have a weird flavor. It's got sweet berry flavors, actually. 100% of the greens are all grown and manufactured inside the United States, and they are bioavailable. Now, they've got other products as well. They've got the Microfactor, which you see behind me on every show, and I take them every day. You know, you got
essential fatty acids, CoQ10. You got all the stuff you need in one little packet for your daily vitamin pack. And you mix that, you make yourself OptiGreens 50 shake, and you take those pills with it, and you're going to improve your life precipitously. You're going to feel better, you're going to look better, so on and so forth. So go to firstform.com, that's 1STPHORM.com/citizen. Use the code, you're going to get free shipping on all orders over $50.
And the most painful thing about that is also, you know, I was, 21, just barely 21 when that happened. And, you know, a Marine, Patriot Act, like, fucking thumbs up, like, everything's awesome, we need
but
this.
If you don't have anything to hide, then what's your problem?
We gotta fight terrorism, man. And it wasn't until, you know, probably my mid-30s, where I'm like, oh, fuck, that was not good. That was awful, but, yeah, I was manipulated just like everyone else. Yeah. And, I agree 100%.
So how do you map that onto this current conflict? You know what I mean? Because there's like so much. It's not even a dichotomy. There's 80 parts of me here.
Right.
Like
yes.
If I was a member of the IDF, particularly one that was living in Israel at the time, I would be smoking everybody.
You right. know what I mean? Yeah. No question.
But it's like, again, imagine yourself out in public with a group of your friends, and something happens to you, and you get hot. Your friend's job is to make sure you don't do anything fucking stupid.
Correct.
Right. And I don't consider the state of Israel our ally or our friend, but I think the people are.
Yeah, the people are cool, right?
I like them. I've worked with them quite a bit. I know a bunch of them. I have some family over there. It's like, those are my friends. I want you guys to do the right thing here.
Well, I think the thing you have to realize is, just like us, though, their government sucks.
Oh, yeah. It's not worse than ours.
It's definitely up there.
That's not true, because Netanyahu was trying to end the fucking, the judicial branch of government.
Yeah, no shit. Right. Yeah, no. I think that's the thing that's very hard for people to separate right now, is because if you say anything anti-Israel, anti-Semite, and you hate the bullshit, that's not true at all, man. The same way that I can understand people that like us as, like, you know, Americans, but they hate our government because it's awful.
Yeah, here's what I've always said. It's like, if a house is on fire and you're trying to put out the fire, it doesn't make you anti-house. Right, and that's a really stupid fucking way to think about life, too,
right.
to be honest.
No, it is. Yeah, but I honestly think the thing that you have to do right now is take a step, even, I don't know, this next level is past strategic view, but the million-foot view. I mean, like, let me take all my emotions out of this bullshit. Let me look at this. What do I think is actually going on? And what do I think is, like, the worst possible outcome and the worst possible setup for this? And it has nothing to do with the IDF guy on the ground, or honestly, the poor fucking Hamas dickhead with an AK-47 and 2 rounds in a magazine, or whatever bullshit they've got. It has to do with what games are the governments playing, or for that matter, the people above the governments that are manipulating the governments like pawns. And that presents to me like an absolutely horrifying scenario, but I mean, fuck, it might be the one, without getting, you know, completely tinfoil hat on us.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, I mean, it's a good question. I don't know how you... I really don't know how you separate the two, to be honest. Like, is it there's right and there's reasonable, I guess. It's like, it's right to question this stuff. It's right to have conversations about it. Is it reasonable to expect that these, you know, kind of quasi totalitarian governments are going to bend at all?
Right.
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know that we've ever seen it in anything in history that suggests that the regular folk from two countries are just going to look at their governments and say no when a war breaks out.
That is unfortunately true for the most part.
I'm not sure that's ever happened, to be honest.
Fuck, man, you got me scratching my head.
Maybe when the Germans and America, or the Germans and the British, were singing Christmas songs to each other over the lines one time.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
It didn't last. Right,
right, right. How about when Romans stopped joining the legions? That it was all foreigners.
Yeah, yeah.
That was not really the same thing, but kind of. Yeah. Somebody just the other day was pointing out, though, that it's I think it was a Mr. Burlingame on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He's pointing out that it's very common for revolutions to happen right after a military defeat. Also, though, so yeah, I'm not sure exactly how that plays into this with any of the pieces on the board, but it is something to put in the back.
I wonder what we're gonna do, right? Because it seems like the West is marching towards war right now.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Somehow, and it's a sign of weakness. I've been talking about this for years as well. It's just like insecurity is the reason that people have to flex,
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Say what you want about Trump, but straight up threatening people with nukes is pretty effective, to be honest. Right. Especially when you've got that haircut. People are like, this dude doesn't care if he lives or dies. You know what I mean?
He gives nothing.
Yeah. And it worked, too. We killed. So I'm trying to think of a one-for-one comparison. We killed Soleimani. That would have been like killing the Joint Chief.
Right.
The chairman of the Joint Chief. Yeah, no, Chief, it was crazy. Right? And they didn't do a fucking thing about it.
Right.
Right.
Because he was like, step up and get some more.
Yeah. There's something to be said about doing that stuff, to be honest, and doing it in a way. I think we used the switchblade on him, too.
We did. That was totally cool.
Mm. Explain the switchblade for our casual military viewers. Because it might be the fucking coolest weapon that we have.
Now, this was after my time, so I only know about it from open source stuff, too. But effectively, it's a point fire hellfire missile that, I mean, by point fire, I mean, like, hits a person in a car. Like, yeah. It's aimed at, like, a human being-sized thing. And it's got these, like, 3-foot-long blades on it, so it's like a fucking flying Ginsu knife. Almost zero collateral damage outside of, like, say, a Honda Civic-sized area, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But we'll take a person into little bitty parts.
Yeah. I mean, they found him in pieces.
Remember the hand with the finger?
The hand with the finger. Yeah, I think they found his dick, too.
Right.
It's like, that'll put the fear of whatever god you believe in into you. That's for sure.
I saw some dude's wall as the trophy, like, literally.
But why doesn't... I wonder if Israel has that as well. I would be perfectly happy giving them those things, to be honest.
I'm sure that they do, but they're expensive, and they require much better intelligence to use for targeting.
Well, we have ground-penetrating radar from C-130s right now, and I understand you don't want to fly them over an active war zone too low,
right.
But I can't imagine the surface-to-air capabilities in Gaza are really good right now. They don't have Stingers and shit. They may have RPGs, but that's a good luck with that.
Are we sure they don't?
Well, we'll see. Yeah, right. I haven't seen them yet, but we lost a couple in Afghanistan, and there's rumors that they made their way down there.
We might have left some shit in Afghanistan, too, that Iran's good at copying. Like,
yeah.
I mean, considering some of the other shit that I saw, like, with my own eyes. Yeah.
It's we'll see. But, I mean, there's ways around that stuff, I think. I don't know. I personally would never be comfortable. If I'm looking over the hill to a city that we've got to go fucking raise, I wouldn't be thrilled with the idea of dropping bombs on it instead of going in myself. That's me. I don't know. Maybe I don't give a fuck about being alive. It's probably true, actually. But I don't know. I don't expect everybody to think that way. And Israel, you know, from a tactical level, I think they see themselves as a finite resource, right?
Which they should, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if there's a risk of a wider regional war.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to risk, 10% of your dudes fighting the idiot Palestinians when very possibly, you know, Iran's going to drive tanks over the border.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure that's a concern that they're worried about, is over deploying ground troops and then getting overrun. But I don't think that's – everybody knows that the U.S. would get involved at that point. Like, we've already got – we said that we were targeting Syria and Lebanon because they were sending stuff towards our troops. That's not true at all. We've got our – like, fucking two Delta squadrons are parked off the coast right now.
But the particular problem that you have to always think, like an Israeli, is will the Americans really come and help us? Which we've shown that we're going to. I don't doubt that we would either.
We also showed
bet your life on that?
Yeah, we also showed that we'll fuck you over.
Right.
You know what I mean? We'll pull out and
yards,
good luck.
All the Iraqi commandos, everybody that was our boy in Afghanistan.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, not just them, but the Kurds, too. We fucked them over like three times
for like
20
years. Yeah. They...
Nobody remembers the Monty Yards, the hill people.
Yeah.
Fucking just like, all right, we got to get on these helicopters. Good luck with your bad luck. Or here, good. Sorry about your bad luck. I mean, it was just fucking rough. What else do you get up to these days? You're retired from the military. What else are you doing these days?
Yeah, so I'm retired. I've got two boys, 5 and 7, because I like to start late. Mm-hmm. So that is a lot of time right there.
Mm-hmm.
When you're 40s and dealing with kids of that age with all their high energy stuff is it takes some doing.
Keeps you young though, right?
Sure. Keeps you young, gives you gray hair, whichever one we want to go with.
And you're running a training facility of some sort, but it's not a facility so much. You like do digital stuff, and then what else you got going on?
So I had this kind of epiphany about a year ago of okay, so the people there's a lot of people that can't afford to train, can't go to like classes and shit, right? They just can't. Classes are expensive, ammo is expensive. You know, you're looking at easy $2,000 a weekend if you got to travel,
yeah,
to a course. Yeah, it's expensive, man. It just is. On top of which, I've got clients the other end of the spectrum too, a lot of whom, they have the money to train and go to classes and buy ammo and all this other shit, but they don't have the time because they live somewhere like in the middle of Austin. So they're really going to drive to the range an hour every day away, train, pack their shit back up and go home. No, they don't have time for that shit. So I came to this conclusion that we could very easily, with airsoft guns, teach drills in the garage that translate directly to live fire drills on the weekend. So, and this also comes from, I can't remember his name now. You ever follow the Japanese kid? And like, I think it was 2012. This kid came over. He'd never touched a real gun in his life. Mm-hmm. Trains for 30 days and then wins the SEAL challenge. Beats Casey Acibio by like half a second.
No, I've not heard that. That's
look him up,
crazy.
Man. He's I can't remember his name, but this happened, and it was like, what? And then also, you know, all of us that were pro three gunners after that time, a lot of us, we all had airsoft guns because we would, you know, train in the house.
Tatsuya Sakai.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so that's proof of concept. So this airsoft gun, as stupid as it sounds, all right, does give real feedback. It's all the same mechanics, all the same fundamentals.
And, well, when you're training a new shooter, dry fire is like the most, it's the best thing you can do, right? Because you don't get that, you have to work a little bit to overcome the anticipation of the fucking recoil a little bit. That's a problem. But aside from that, target reacquisition after firing and shit like that. But those are like, that's just repetition.
Right.
To get the fundamental skills, I don't think you need to be firing a real guy. I tell everybody, like new gun owners especially, if you go to the gun range, test all the handguns, right? Anything that kind of fits in your hand, test them all, whichever one feels the best, that's the gun you should buy. I don't give a fuck what it looks like 100%. Or whatever.
Who made the motherfucker? Yeah. Who cares?
And then take it to your house, put dummy rounds in it, watch TV and fucking aim that thing at people's faces on your TV and squeeze the trigger. Rack your round, do your fucking malfunction drill. Do that for a month before you ever go to an actual range, right?
What's one of the things I like about the airsoft gun? All the shit, the slide moves. So when you shoot it, like the little sights move. Load and unload. All right. That's one of the scariest things to teach, like total new guys.
Yeah.
Right. We learned that shit in the Army where, you know, people beating you with a stick if you did it wrong. And, you know, you never had real bullets anyway, unless you're all this bullshit. For a new gun owner, that's actually kind of horrifying. Like some dude in his 30s or 40s, never touched one, goes to the store, buys this shit, comes home with it. The odds of a fuck up are very high. Very high. All right, but you give him a training tool that loads and unloads exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. All right, worst case scenario, he shoots his Ming vase. He's out a couple of dollars, but nobody died, including him.
Yeah. Combat reloads are not the same as reloading at the range after your slide goes back. You know what I mean? Like if you're, especially when you're getting into more advanced stuff, like I want people to reload administratively. What's the phrase they used to use? AWG used to fucking hammer this shit all the time. Reload when you want to, not when you have to, I think was the phrase, something like that. Which
was that a Mike Pinone special?
It may have been, yeah. For people that have been in gunfights, that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
You know what I mean? But reloading when there's a round still in the chamber, when you're not racking and stuff like that, I've seen people forget and like keep your finger off the trigger, asshole.
Man, it's easy to fuck up.
But it is easy, right? That's why like people like this kid probably had thousands of hours, right?
Yes.
By the time he actually did some shit.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's all it is. Yeah. Like you can turn people into a gunfighter, man. You can't build the attitude, I don't think.
I don't think so.
Like the ability to operate under pressure like that, it gets revealed, I think. I don't think you can build that. But the marksmanship skills are not that hard.
Frankly. Right. Yeah.
And you've been to sniper school. That's a little bit more difficult, but even that. The moving around part is what fucks people up, I think. The shooting, you can learn.
You know, actually, the shooting was the hardest part for me.
Well, why do you think it's... Did you have bad habits from before? What do you think it was?
I just think that I didn't have a lot of habits because I didn't really... I kind of grew up shooting, but not really.
Mm.
Like, you know, I had like a gun when I was like a bullshit Browning 22. I was like 11 that lived under my bed. And then as soon as I turned like... My dad didn't like to go shoot. So when I turned 16, you know, then my allowance became like, you know, fucking 22 ammo, but I had no formal training and I still didn't shoot that. I thought I was shooting a lot. I wasn't shooting shit when you get right down to it. So I didn't have a lot of experience, really. When I went to the Marine Corps, man, this is fucking embarrassing. I actually qualified with the goddamn pizza box first time. The pizza box of shame, which is the lowest marksmanship that you can get at fucking basic training with. So that was
I think horrible. It's basic rifleman. Is that what it's called? Well, in the Army, I think it's called basic marksman.
Okay, for us, it's expert, sharpshooter, and marksman. Marksman being the last one.
Yeah, marksman's, that's right.
So it's square. One, yeah. So it is the pizza box of shame. Yeah. So I was not fucking good at shooting. And then I managed to get into sniper school. And I did the expert qual twice bullshit to get in. And the first time, so I went to both. I went to the Marine Corps Scout Sniper School as well as SODIC. Marine Scout
Sniper. Which one's better?
Oh, fuck. It's a long discussion. Mm-hmm. They're very different.
Yeah.
I don't know. Which team are you on? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not. I've heard both, actually. But
it would honestly depend on the year. The Marine Corps, I would say that their field skills in a lot of way were higher, but they were also, that was like a very much a gateway thing.
I've heard that. Heard that it's, you're going to learn more classic skill in the Marine Corps, and then you're going to learn more updated, probably a lot more urban stuff. And so
it's very true. Yes. As well as, when you go to SODIC, you're dealing with guys that are either already been in Ranger Battalion a long time. They're a long tab SF guy or Delta or whatever. So you can get away with, to a degree, skipping some of that. But anyway, that's the difference. But I qualified by my last bullet in Marine Scout Sniper School. So, I'm not doing well at this. This is obviously a fucking weakness. So I worked on it a lot over the years. So that by the time I got to SODIC many years later with a very similar marksmanship standard, came within a couple of points of the course record. That's actually one of the reasons that I like teaching now is I've learned how to stop sucking. So I feel like I can pass that on very well.
What do you think it was that was fucked up? Just not enough repetition?
Just fucking
everything.
Was
there something specific?
It was both bad lack of repetition. Back in those days, too, there was a lot of things that proved to be myth and bullshit with long-range shooting.
Like what?
Oh, fuck. The way you clean your gun, the way that you relax into the gun and, be surprised by the trigger, all that's bullshit. In fact, right here in Austin is the guy that changed it, old Todd Hodnett, as we call him, Sniper Jesus. And he influenced the shit out of the sniper world because he started winning competitively. But he approached it as an older dude of just one of those kind of unique mindset guys of, what if everything everyone else thinks is total horse shit and there's a better way to do all this stuff? And he was right. Now, a lot of times those guys fail, but he was absolutely correct in everything that he did. So honestly, just 2 weeks with him, which I got to go to before I went to SODIC because my new ODA and third group was going there, that changed the way I shot. So there's also something to be said for the ability to recognize when there's actually a superior technique and not just some horseshit. But yeah, that changed everything for me.
Well, we went from grabbing our magazine to grabbing a Ford Assist to wrapping our hand around the barrel within the course of what, like 7 years maybe?
Right.
I mean, it was pretty quick. Oh, now, fuck. Granted, we were getting lots of reps.
Right.
Both in training and overseas, but it happened pretty fast.
It did.
To be honest. I mean, military stuff changes over a long period of time.
Except when it changes over a fast period of time.
Yeah.
Same way with like close quarter battle. Close quarter battle changed more in the years, 2002 to 2005 than it did 40 years before that and probably ever since then. Yeah.
And is that something you train as well at CQB, or is it mostly just marksmanship?
I've done it before. I've trained like SWAT teams and shit. I took a team to the SWAT Olympics like 10 years ago. I've really gotten away from the CQB stuff, though, because I just don't feel like it's that relevant. It kind of has a little bit of bearing for like a home defense thing, but really, like, come the fuck on. You're not going to miss it 3 feet. Like, it might not be, a perfect, hostage rescue shot group, but really, who gives a shit? It's going to work.
There's just some strategic stuff you can teach that doesn't require repetition, like the difference between a kill shot and an incapacitating shot, for example. Like, if somebody's on PCP and you're shooting them in the chest and not going down, shoot their fucking hips out, and they're not going to be able to move
then,
you
can feel your
That's just, but you can tell somebody that.
Right.
You don't have to necessarily, it does help to train maybe with paintballs and have a guy in a gorilla suit coming after you.
Right.
So you can actually see how it feels to go through that progression, but you don't need to go to a shoot house for that.
Right. And hey, we live in America. You can shoot through sheetrock.
That's
fucking
true.
Crazy. Yeah. I know. Because of that, I mean, actually, that's one of the things that kills me about CQB as well, and this is actually kind of painful, being like I taught it for Special Forces, being like arguably like a 37th level paladin fucking CQB guy. A lot of the shit that we got away with because of the construction in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah,
walls are basically bulletproof. Yeah. Interior rooms, a lot of times you can still throw a live hand grenade.
Yeah. And you're not throwing hand grenades into an American
house. No.
That's why the ATF kills your dog with a flashbang instead.
Right, exactly right. So, I mean, I feel like to a degree also a lot of things that we know are semi not applicable. As well as just, I really want people to start using rifles the way rifles were intended to be used, mm-hmm. which is you know, at some fucking distance.
Yeah, I've been. I think this might be a controversial opinion, but I've said a lot of times over the years that I would rather clear my house with a handgun than a rifle. just a little bit easier God to fucking maneuver around. You know what I mean?
God damn it! I'm having the eye twitch right now.
Yeah, I know. I guess with an SBR, it's better. You know. But I like going in with a musket, like the Marine Corps used to do with the fucking buttstock sitting up on top of your shoulder.
I was there when
shit.
We were doing that shit.
Fuck
yeah,
that,
yeah,
man. No way. I would pull my. I probably wouldn't pull a P-92, though. Those things are pieces of shit, but or at least the ones we had. They were so goddamn old. I think they were from Vietnam. yeah, probably not that, but I don't know, man. I like with a. So I've got a couple of rifles. I've got a shorter one than this that I probably would clear a house with. This is, I don't know what that is, 13, I think.
Oh, okay,
but
yeah.
I think I've got an 11 that I would clear a house with.
Oh, dude, how about the Maximum Defense 5.5 and 7.62x3.9?
Yeah.
Kill them with flames nice. If you miss them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking A.
Yeah, I like those. Actually, I bought one of those perimeter defense things that you put a 12-gauge round
in. Oh, those
into,
are cool. Yeah, those are righteous.
And just drag its fucking breath in every one of them. I kind of want to, rig something up where it squeezes lighter fluid onto the guy and then pops him the dragon's breath. You know what I mean?
I hope you're insured by someone besides USAA.
They're terrible. How you were bitching about them on Twitter the other day.
Oh, I was. It's directly related to your dragon's breath of lighter fluid. Fuck anybody else, you might be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've only heard bad things about them lately, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, it's been crazy, man. So, my personal story real quick, lost my house in January 2020 to a house fire, right? Mm-hmm. And through a twist of fate / TBI, I was double insured. I had USAA cuz I've had them for 20 years, my mm-hmm. wife had American Modern Insurance Group. When you're double insured on a big thing like that, you don't get paid twice. Each company is responsible for half. You know, like I said on Twitter, unless it's, World Trade Center 7 apparently, but that's neither here nor there. But so with access to the exact same data and exact same whatever, AMIG paid their half a long time ago, but it turns out that won't pay off a house. And there's nothing you can do with the money until the other half gets paid. And USAA is still dragging their feet after all this time.
So you still haven't been paid?
Correct. Which is very exciting. When you pay $80,000 worth of mortgage on a pile of ashes, because you have to do that to protect your credit too. You have to keep paying your mortgage. No. That will chap your ass a little bit.
And did you file a lawsuit or what?
We're getting ready. I mean, there's no choice at this point. We're running up on statute of limitations, so we're going to have to sue.
Who's the other insurance company?
American Modern Insurance Group.
And they were
cool.
Fine
yep.
with them.
Here you go. Yep, here's your checks on.
And what are they saying? Why aren't they paying it out? I don't understand.
They're mostly just ignoring me now.
Mm. Well, that'll do it.
Yeah, we'll get it done. Mikey Glover was actually bitching about USA. I don't know what the hell they did to him, but yeah, it's been wild.
Who knows? Jared Taylor.
Yeah,
he's said the same. I think he left them recently, actually. Now, conversely, from the people I know that are second generation USA people, they all love it.
Really?
Yeah. I maybe they just target us specifically.
right.
Although I've never had any particular problems with them. They've been pretty good with me a couple of times.
Well, this is the first major loss I've had,
too. But the rates are going way up.
Oh, I've heard that, too, man. I've heard people saying that things are
doubling. Relative to other insurance companies, and they don't provide any additional service.
Right.
I think, frankly, it's kind of offensive isn't the right word, but it's kind of a cunt move to say you're the military or veteran version of something.
Right.
And then charge them more for it. It's like, I'm not paying a premium because you use my service.
Dude,
you didn't serve? Fuck face. I know a lot of their employees. That's not what I mean, but.
What about all the soldiers? They took their COVID checks.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear about that one? That was crazy.
I haven't heard that. What happened there?
Oh, man, I don't want to fuck this up because you don't want to get details wrong when they're going to, potentially put you in the arena for it. But
yeah,
it was something to do with, remember when the COVID relief checks came, which was crazy in its own right. Like, here's, $2,000, what the hell it was.
Yeah. Well, we just printed it,
Right, yeah. So that was cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what were they doing? They were, impounding soldiers' COVID checks that had, overdraft. It was some kind of crazy shit. Like, they ended up getting their pee-pee spanked for us. They gave it up. But, yeah, it was crazy, whatever it was.
So they were garnishing
Yes, the COVID
government
the
payments.
COVID relief checks.
They don't have the statutory right to do that, though, right?
I don't remember exactly how it worked out, but it worked out they finally had to, like, maybe just in a bad press, they were like, print collar, like, my bad.
Yeah, I assume that was people who had, like, checking accounts with them and shit like that, right? Otherwise,
like
how
I said,
they do
I don't
it?
Remember exactly the detail, but yeah, I believe that was how it went.
Cool. Well, we've got bigger problems than that.
Yes, for sure.
Like the 5 million illegal immigrants we've allowed into the country in the last couple of years. Now, I'll preface this by saying, everybody immediately jumps to look at how many military age males without families are coming over, but those are also the people most likely to work, right?
Fair.
Frankly, yeah. So let's get that out there, but. Senegal and Syria and what the fuck, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like it used to, like when it was Mexican, it was like, oh, they're probably just working,
right? It probably, you
know. Or they're cartels. And look, I like drugs, man. Come on,
turns out, yeah.
I'm not with the human trafficking stuff. We'll shut that down. But the drugs, keep them coming, please. But all these other motherfuckers, Chinese people and whatever coming into the country, like people that we consider to be less than friendly, right?
Iranians, yeah. As those come through, yeah.
Like everybody I know in NatSec right now, either retired or active, thinks that there's something coming.
I have to agree. I mean, it's kind of hard to think anything else, especially after, like, remember the power station attack in North Carolina just, mm-hmm. was that like 6-7 months ago?
Yeah. I mean, this has been going on since 2012. They started out in California. I was living there at the time, and I responded to some of those because I was working.
Oh, no shit.
Not for government at the time, but the PG&E, the power company out there was one of my clients, right?
Oh, really? Okay.
We did all their force protection. We did all of their security consulting and shit.
Okay, gotcha.
But the DOE came in after that and kicked us out. But we were there at the time. It was like some dude just set up a fucking machine gun and fired 300 rounds at this thing and nobody noticed. Really? Until fucking a week later? Are you kidding me?
Right.
It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Anyways.
Well, so you have that when you have this pattern of they're getting better at it too. Because I remember how much power the one in California took up, but this one in North Carolina was obviously like it took out a lot of power to a lot of people. Mm. It was at a borderline critical time. People were cold, you know, can't get growth, all this stuff. That's like one dude. That's a one dude mission. You know, two at the worst.
Mm.
And something that I said as soon as we started looking at like all these Chinese dudes coming across the border with the, you know, matching tattoos or whatever. Okay, it's one thing to deal with, like, cartel nuggets and, you know, for that matter, even, like, you know, Al-Qaeda guys because they're borderline incompetent or they spend all their money at a strip club or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
When you talk about, like, China, though.
Yeah,
China is pretty disciplined. Different. So let's say that a year ago you took 1,000 guys into Chinese SOCOM and you sat them down in a room, highly disciplined, believe in the, you know, the party, all the bullshit, and you're like, listen up, bro. Here's what you're going to do. You guys are going to all infiltrate, and on this one date, pick an arbitrary date, you're all going to go hit these targets. And they're one, two-man, three-man targets, whatever. Even if 50% of those guys went and did it, they could cripple his nation.
Yeah.
I mean, bring it to his knees.
Yeah, and China is not like the U.S., so their version of ground branch, there's no name for it, there's no roster, none of that shit exists.
I
know we say stuff like that because we want to feel cool and Jason Bourne-like. Right. There's a fucking list of everybody that's a part of that organization.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And China attacks our digital infrastructure every single fucking day.
Exactly. No shit.
So, yeah. Like, we would have, if they just posed as illegals coming over the border, we would have
never
no idea.
Know. Never fucking know.
We would have no idea.
China's also hardcore enough. I mean, I don't doubt for a second that they've got, you know, camps full of kids that they took when they were like 2 years old that appear on no fingerprints, never seen a digital camera in their lives. And they have them for things like that.
Why are we doing that? Why don't, you know, sometimes you do fight the way your enemy fights.
Right.
Russia does it. China does it. They're our two biggest enemies in the world. Yep. Russia to a much lower degree. Russia mostly because they're like, they're like 3M kind of. They're not dangerous in their own right, I think, but they make other countries more dangerous. You know what I mean? You can see from that, even though they're whipping Ukraine, and believe me, they've whipped Ukraine. There's actually a nice map circulating right now. It's like, here's the amount of money we've spent on Ukraine, and here's the amount of territory they've taken back, and it's like two little yellow splotches. But the Russian military is incompetent as fuck. They're terrible. They still fight like it's World War II.
Right.
And good enough, fight Ukraine, they're a peasantry. They don't have a real army.
Right.
You can fight that way and win. But if they fought a real army, they'd get fucking nuked big time. Not literally, but maybe.
Right.
China's not the same, though. China's their military is not as good as ours. Their air is not nearly as good as ours.
No.
Neither is their navy. But they're a problem, right? But
I agree. Yes.
But either one of them, from an information operation perspective, are better than us, in my opinion.
So much better. Yeah, they run circles around
because they have discipline. Well, one, their regimes last longer than 4 to 8 years, so that helps, right?
Right. Their regimes, if you turn traitor on them and sell them, they'll fucking kill you.
Yeah,
that helps actually immensely.
But I think there's no question. I mean, they looked at the what do you call it? The alien program Russia ran for and still runs all this time. Yeah, they've been training kids.
Oh yeah,
to fucking be sleepers and shit like that.
Of course,
I'm sure China's doing that.
Oh, no question.
Right,
no question.
I it seems unlikely we are.
That's just really not our. So, okay, you can't look at this from a perspective of the same way that you know, like okay, people find about Area 51 or whatever the kind of government bullshit. There are certain things that it costs you to have a free society.
Yeah,
and you know, that's kind of the way it is. Now you can counter those totalitarian regimes by I don't know having better other stuff. So I don't think that we can do the direct you know one to one of you know train children from birth to be secret infiltrator ninjas and all this shit. But we're just not doing anything well right now. So yeah, it's kind of a problem.
Well, it seems very likely that we're going to get hit. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and it was like, yeah, I was making pemmican last night.
Yeah.
I was asked what I was doing. I'm like, I'm making pemmican.
Right.
She's like, what the fuck is that? So I explain the shelf life and so on.
Right.
She's like, oh my God, what are you preparing for? Because people know that I keep track of this stuff, so they get worried. I'm like, well, everybody should be doing this, right? Not just because of the current threat environment. It's because... What if there's a natural disaster? What do you do if the power goes out for a month? Can you feed your family? Probably not. Do you have a non-electric can opener for all your canned goods that you're depending on? You know what I mean? You're going to be bashing it against a rock like a fucking caveman. But it does seem like something's coming pretty soon, frankly. It feels like it. What advice do you have for ordinary folk? You know, people aren't gunfighters.
No, they're not.
You know? They're not survivalists either.
No, they're not.
We're very comfortable these days.
Oh, we are soft. We are soft and we are weak. The biggest thing, man, is something I try to push in both of my survival books too. You know, people always want to talk about, you know, I'm going to learn how to build a fire and, you know, fucking have some beans and rice and some bullets and this other bullshit. And this shit is important, okay? Not taking away from that. But the most important thing that everyone misses is you have to have community. You have to have buddies. You have to have a fucking team. And you cannot be the lone man survivor, Charlton Heston motherfucker on the side of a mountain, and you're just going to walk this one off, dog. That's not a winning strategy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, because some group is going to come fucking you up and take your stuff, dude.
Yes, exactly, 100%.
Yeah,
I say that in books too. I say to people all the time, like, look, man, resume deep. Like, I'm Commando Steve of the fucking universe, man.
Yeah.
Like, there's like a limit to everyone, and it's actually not as high as you would fucking think.
No,
all right.
No.
I got to sleep sometime. It turns out,
yeah.
Like, unless I can have like a whole big pile of meth, like it's going to have to be huge, though.
Well,
yeah, and. I guess I'll last that long.
Yeah, we can find that.
But I'm sweet. Cartel, Steve, we're back to full circle. But you got to have friends, man. You got to have buddies. And you also can't learn everything. And, like, I don't care how smart you are. Like, you can't be – Jason Bourne's not a real dude because you can't speak Mandarin, be a doctor, an MMA fighter, sniper, all this shit. You can't be all of it.
Yeah.
You got to have some people that have some other stuff and your brain trust. So I think that's the biggest thing right now, man, is, like, don't – okay, have some supplies – don't spaz out. Don't max out your credit card like it's fucking Y2K. But find some buddies. Organize a little bit. You know, it doesn't have to be, again, be, you know, the end of the fucking world is coming. But, hey, how about if we got ready for, like, Katrina? It's hurricane season. Like, what would we do in a Katrina-type event? It's start thinking that way.
Yeah, I mean, have a group of friends with a plan. That seems like a good idea. You can go on Amazon, and for about $100, you can buy a piece of equipment called a Zaleo, right?
Yeah.
And it basically turns your, this little phone into a satellite phone.
I've got one. They're awesome. Right? Yeah.
And you can communicate with each other. Even if there's an EMP, as long as your fucking shit doesn't get fucked up specifically,
right?
All the cell towers go out, you can still communicate with people.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's probably important to have. Right. What about food? Like, you were just over at Tucker's house, Tucker Max's
right.
house the other
yeah.
day, or yesterday, I guess. Or
I
today.
Was, yeah.
He's got his own thing set up there. But again, you can build all this infrastructure, but if you don't have a community to help defend it,
right.
then
your host,
some asshole like me is just going to show up and take it, right?
Exactly fucking
you
know right. What I mean? No, that's 100% true. No.
So what's that look like? I mean, how does the individual, and I mean this with all sincerity, how do you get involved in something like that and train with people and shit without seeming like some fucking kook militia retard in the woods? Because those dudes that are LARPing with all their patches
oh,
and stuff,
yeah,
like,
man.
Calm down, man.
Yeah.
Like, I want everybody in America to be trained, frankly.
Right, me too.
If somebody
yeah.
invades, I want to murder all of them.
Right, yeah. Let's be gangsters, yeah.
But, you know, just relax on the Gucci gear a little bit.
Right.
You know, learn some functional stuff.
Turns out you can fight without a first grade plate carrier. You can do it. You don't, maybe you don't want to, but you can do it. Yeah, no. It's
I miss Paraclete, to be honest. I love their stuff back in the day. You can't find it anywhere.
You can't find eBay.
Yeah, well, probably eBay. Yeah, it's going to be $3,000 goddamn dollars just for the
exactly.
carrier.
You pay, it was X dev group fucking price to it, though. It's like a fucking, yeah. you know, 900% tax.
It's got real Delta blood on it.
Right? Yeah, no shit.
But yeah, it's like, for real, how do you, because I think Glover does a really good job at
yeah,
this.
Yeah, he does. He did a great thing with this.
Despite the fact that DHS thinks he's a fucking domestic terrorist or something.
Amazing how that works,
and it,
right?
Like, none of the literature about, from that particular group, about the readiness group, is anything political. It's just
right.
like, hey, what happens if the lights go out?
Right.
What are you going to do? It's like, oh, they're fucking getting ready to us. Like, what?
No, they can say man. Exactly the same shit that FEMA says in his brochures,
yeah, yeah,
and he's
yeah.
a domestic terrorist. Yeah, that makes perfect yeah. sense, right?
So I think he does a really good job at that stuff. But
yeah.
as far as tactical training, I think it is important. Not you don't,
you have some.
You don't need to be clear, like, I agree with you. I don't think you need to be clearing houses. You need to learn yeah. how to set up OPs. You need to learn how to fucking
yeah.
patrol an area for
right.
enemies and stuff like that.
Basic old school, like yeah. Ranger school shit. Yeah. Like, yeah. yeah. No, I agree 100%. And yeah, man, I think that's the way to do it. And how do you get there? That is the hardest question. And it's the one that I got asked the most after Concrete Jungle and Prairie Fire. People were like, okay, you sure said how to organize this thing, but you didn't tell us how to get the people to do the thing. And to a degree, we have solved that just recently, actually, and we'll see how well it goes, or if they come and spank my PP for doing it. But I've started via our Discord server for our Wolf Lodge, which is directly related to my last very fictional book. It's a book club Discord server called Wrath of Wendigo. So what we did is we broke the country down into different regions. And everybody, when you join that Discord server, you get assigned to a region. Mm-hmm. And the idea was always that everything digital is compromised. It mm-hmm. is. I'm sure we got like 9 or 10 feds on the motherfucker right now.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
fine. Yeah. I don't know if we're that important. I got like one, though. I want to feel like I'm important enough to have one.
Well, I know the DO or the Joint Chiefs print out everything I say.
Right.
That's a fact.
You got like 15 NSA guys watching your shit. Yeah.
But it seems like a waste of paper, to be honest.
Right.
You
yeah.
can just watch the show. I'm not deleting anything. You
right.
fucking cunts, anyways.
Well, my big thing has always been like, okay, number one, just don't do stupid shit like, say, we're going to build illegal machine guns or illegal SBRs or illegal suppressors or kidnap the governor of fucking Michigan. As long as you don't say those things, you're fine. And if yeah. somebody does say those things, tell them to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Get them out of your circle. Like, don't even tell them, like, this is your warning. Tell them to get the fuck out.
Yeah, because people that say stupid shit like that are unstable.
They're one or two things, man. They're either a fucking idiot
yeah.
or they're the Fed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's it.
It's only those two options.
Right, that's
and,
it.
And, you know, it used to only be Feds because before Reagan ended all the insane asylums,
right.
we just threw those motherfuckers into a
which
padded
is where
room.
We should keep
yes.
them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but now they're fucking, we have to determine who's who.
Right.
I just assume they're always a Fed.
Exactly, me too. You know? But the
because you mentioned the Whitmer thing.
Yeah.
There were 8 people in the original room.
Right.
To have that discussion. 2 of them were federal agents and 2 of them were federal witnesses. So 50% were fucking
it's feds. Fucking crazy. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Or, you know, how many of the Proud Boys leadership actually ended up being feds after January 6th? Like a significant
at least
amount.
Enrique, whatever the fuck his name is, Tariq or whatever.
Yeah, whoever
the
fuck he was. Yeah.
Is. Yeah. Yeah. They that seemed like a fishing expedition and they caught a whale. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like now anybody that behaves, anybody that shows up to a protest worried that their city's going to get burned to the ground, they're worried they're going to be the next Proud Boy or the next Kyle Rittenhouse or somebody like that.
Oh, dude, it's a fucking real concern. It's a very real concern.
But that's like battlefield preparation, right?
Yeah.
That's what you do. You knock out. When I was having that conversation with that woman the other day, it's like if there's some attack, whether it's internal or external, meaning internal as in the government or fucking sleeper cells here, or external as in like an actual invasion, mm-hmm. the first thing you would do in America, this isn't true of every location, but the first thing you would do in America is knock out the energy grid.
Yes.
You have to, right?
Yes, fuck yes.
So that's the first thing that's going to happen.
Agreed.
Whether it's the most likely course of events, whether it's a natural or man-made disaster, is going to be the energy grid goes down.
Right.
So you should be prepared for that shit, right?
Yes, 100%.
It seems reasonable.
Which also means that everyone that's in your group has to live within 5 miles of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like your internet buddies, like they don't mean shit when the lights go out. They don't matter. Anybody more than at absolute most one tank of fuel away, as well as, man, we've all seen post hurricanes or anything like that. If you're not out of the cities before it happens, you live in the city now.
Yeah.
Like that's fucking it. It's over.
So yeah, that's a good point. I mean, a lot of people are going to get stuck in city. I would recommend, finding some way of communicating with somebody that's outside of the city to maybe so you can see.
Maybe you can get there. You can walk out over time, have some cachets, some shit like that.
But if you think you're going to drive down 35 to get out of Austin,
dog,
shit goes down.
No, sir,
that ain't happening. But
as well as you're not taking your truckload of shit. Now you got a backpack as long as you're strong enough to carry it.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I make pemmican. It doesn't weigh much.
Right. See?
You know what I mean? I think 30 days worth of food for me, that's 2,000 calories and about 100 grams of protein a day.
Oh, nice.
Is like fucking 15 pounds maybe.
That's legit, bro.
Yeah, it's not
much. That's legit.
But
yeah,
it's all meat and fat, so it doesn't weigh anything.
Yeah, right.
Which is good for me. These are things I think people should talk about.
Me too.
And you know, to be honest, there are other ancillary benefits from this sort of stuff. You get to know your neighbors and be able to depend on them again. In 1950, if you moved into a new neighborhood, the other families in the neighborhood came over to ask if you needed help or brought you food.
Right.
Because they knew you weren't going to be cooking because you didn't have your shit yet.
Right.
That was the fucking standard, right?
Right.
And it has to be. It has to be the standard again. It is. It's the way that nations become great. G.K. Chesterton said that men didn't love Rome because she was great. Rome was great because the men loved her.
I agree.
Right? And that starts at the very lowest level.
It does.
I think
it absolutely does.
Chad Wright, that crazy Navy SEAL, likes to say that the smallest form of government is your family, right?
Yes.
So it starts there and then it goes out into your community. So how well do you actually know your neighbors? Do you even know one person in your current neighborhood that you can depend on? And this is a question for the audience. Do you? Because if you don't, you're fucked.
Well, this is an absolutely fucking important point too, because it feels weird to use a digital medium for what I'm trying to accomplish, which is our digital wolf lodges with the Discord server. The entire fucking point, though, is to use that so you can meet people that live around you, like close to you, and you can meet them in real life, and you guys can actually, like, I don't know, fucking train together.
Mm.
Actually, I don't know, see who lives close enough to each other to actually be in, like, a neighborhood watch type of thing. All the screens and all the shit, that's one of the things that has ruined us as a nation. Relationships, again, that aren't physically done in person mostly don't matter.
Mm. So that's a good challenge, I guess. Like if you're – because I get asked that question, like, what, how do you begin? What do you start? Because there's a barrier to entry because, I mean, there's so many different
– Oh, shit. Well, trying to find other people, like right now, honestly, in the real world that, like, wish to know more, if you will. Mm-hmm. People that are preparing for anything, a natural disaster, you know, the caldera explosion, mm-hmm. hurricane, whatever. It's very few. All right? Most people do not have it together. You can tell that by the fact that there's panic buying after the war in Israel started. Mm-hmm. Like, got dudes calling up all the time, like, I need to get a gun. Like, dude, after, like, Trump, COVID, Summer of Love, now? Yeah. You need a gun?
But we still see it, man. It's like after the shooting, 2 weeks ago, gun sales surged.
Again, yes.
Again,
yes.
Like.
Yes. Yeah.
Man, you got to, that part's over.
Right.
This reactionary stuff is over.
Right.
You have to be able to protect your home and your family and shit. I mean, it's just, there's no other way around it. I feel like you're doing yourself a pretty big disservice.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm 100% with it. And this is also, maybe it's just the end of empire cycle, but it almost feels like from a soldier perspective, like we kept this nation, so all the, we played away games for, you know, 150 years. Our military ended up making this nation so safe, along with our police, who were, you know, did a fantastic job for 50 years or something, you know, the 20s to the, you know, 70s, 80s. Mm. Actually, they were great up in the 90s. They kind of reversed course in places like New York, shit like that. But it allowed the average man to get so soft and so weak and be such a bitch that it's almost like infectious. And I don't know if there's a reverse course from that. I would like to help as many people as I can, like, become more self-reliant, get their shit together. You can get tougher. You can get stronger. You can build some of that conditioning to adversity, but you have to want to.
Yeah.
You have to want to.
Yeah, and a good way to start some of those conversations. I mean, that's a difficult thing, too. It's a difficult thing because you don't want to sound like a fucking knucklehead.
Right.
Right? You know, like, hey, man, the world's going to end. You're going to be ready?
Oh, yeah, you sound like a total dumbass.
Maybe
yeah.
You're right, but... fucking nobody's going to listen to that.
Right.
But it is a good, like, ask your neighbor the next time you guys have a barbecue or one of the kids' birthday parties or some shit. Or the holidays are upon us now, so there's going to be stuff that's going on. I'd probably be like, hey, do you hear about that energy grid attack? What do you guys have a plan if the power goes out for a month? What are you going to do?
Right.
Just ask them. If they don't have an answer, that's better than telling them they need to prepare.
Like, this is exactly right.
Expose them to the risk in their own mind without – preaching to them, I think, is a really good way to do it.
No, I agree with that fully, man. It's people need to, you got to have a little bit of either like salesmanship or, you know, can you talk to women? Mm. If you can do either of those things, you can figure out the path to get your neighbors on board.
Yeah.
And it's not just, you know, approach it with, you know, they're coming right for us. We're going to dig foxholes in little Jimmy's sandbox.
Yeah. And there's a lot of good resources out there, too. So once you ask that first question and they say, no, and then they come back to you a week or two later and ask you what your plan is, because they probably will.
Right.
Tell them what your plan is. Introduce them to people like Clay, or if they're getting into the homesteading stuff, introduce them to Tucker Max's Twitter page. There's a bunch of good information on there. Or Mike Glover. Or, you know, if you're looking just for how to harvest and cook meat outdoors, fucking Meat Eater's pretty good at that shit. Jack Spearco's good at permaculture. If you're in the homesteading and permaculture stuff, there's a lot of fucking dudes out there that have done all the hard work. You know what I mean? It's all on paper now. You just got to go fucking look at it.
And the thing that's awesome about the homesteader movement, too, you know, a lot of people are turning to that because of economy, too. Mm. Like, okay, you know, I can live in the city and have to make $100,000 a year to live in a bullshit fucking apartment, or I can make $30,000 a year and live out here in a fucking Connex box but have, you know, sunshine and, you know, fucking greenhouse. All of that self... No matter where you start in the self-reliance piece, you end up with all of it because it all becomes necessary.
Yeah.
You know, you see the necessity of it as time goes by.
Yep. Well, look, this has been a great conversation. I appreciate you coming. Tell everybody where they can find you and where they can find your books. Well, you've got like four or five of them now.
Five, yeah. No, I appreciate it. This has been a fantastic podcast. All my books are on Amazon. Mm-hmm. The most relevant is Concrete Jungle and Prairie Fire, which were survival books, as well as Wrath of Wendigo, which is fiction, sort of. It's a good mental prep.
Yeah.
Audiobook actually just came out last Friday. You can find us either on Amazon or wrathofwendigo.com or defiancetraininggroup.com for training specifically.
Sweet. Well, look, thanks for coming, man. I appreciate the time. Enjoy Oklahoma. It's about to get cold up there.
Right.
It's going to suck.
Yes, it is.
But it's better than being in a city, so who cares, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Cool, and thanks for coming. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Anytime. And thank you all for listening. This has been Citizen.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.